Let somebody shout hallelujah.
The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, Jehovah, the man of all, His mercy endureth forever and ever. Oh, praise His holy name. Let's lift our hands to the Most High God and begin to bless His holy name. Let's worship the Almighty God. Let's bless the King of Kings and bless the Lord of Lords. Let's worship Him. Choir, please remain there. Give Him glory, give Him honor, give Him adoration. Praise Him. He's worthy to be praised. He's worthy to be adored. Magnify His holy name. Worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Praise Him. Praise Him. Praise our healer, our provider, our supporter, our deliverer. Bless the fruitful vine. Give Him glory, give Him honor, give Him adoration. He's worthy to be praised. He's worthy to be adored. We cannot bless Him enough for what He did last month. Let us praise Him. Let's praise Him. Let's give Him glory. Let's give Him honor. Let's give Him adoration. Bless His holy name. Bless His holy name. Bless His holy name. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Almighty. Glory be to your name, Lord. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name, we have worshipped. I want you to lift your hands, your hearts to Him and say, Father, in all our lives, glorify your name tonight. Go ahead, talk to the Almighty God. In all our lives, Lord, please glorify your name tonight. Glorify your name tonight. In all our lives, Father, please glorify your name tonight. Thank you, Father. Glorify your name. That's all we're asking for, Lord. Glorify your name tonight. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Alpha and Omega, we bless your name. Ancient of Days, we adore you. The beginning and the ending, our help in ages past, our hope for years to come, thank you. Thank you for January. Thank you for February. Thank you for March. Thank you for April. Thank you for May. Thank you for June. Thank you for July. Thank you for last month. Father, thank you for last month. Father, thank you for last month. And now thank you for September. Accept our worship in Jesus' name. tonight in the lives of all of us here and all those who are listening to us all over the world. Glorify your holy name. All we are asking is that you glorify your holy name. Please, Father, just glorify your holy name. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Amen. All right, let somebody shout hallelujah. What a mighty God we serve. Hallelujah. What a mighty God we serve. Hallelujah. Your name. Father, we want to bless your name. Please accept our worship in Jesus' name. Your word says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by your word. Your word says they overcame the devil by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimonies. Because of the testimonies we have heard tonight, my Father and my God, the faith to move mountains, release unto your children. And if there's anyone here who have been held captive by forces of darkness, that word of testimony that we have heard, Lord, let it bring about deliverance tonight. Before we leave here, Lord God Almighty, let every one of us sing a new song. Thank you, my Father and my God. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Amen. Let somebody shout hallelujah. Luke chapter 5, verse 1 to 7. And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret, and saw two ships standing by the lake, But the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ship, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. And when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep, and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. That kind of blessing that will need people to help you carry them will come your way today in Jesus' name. God loves fruitfulness. His first commandment to man in Genesis chapter 1, from verse 27 to 28. Genesis 1, 27 to 28. After he blessed them, he said, be fruitful and multiply. That was the first commandment of God to man. God loves children. Somebody said, Daddy Gio, I can see that you love children. I said, like father, like son. My father loves children. That's why I love them. The happiest moment during any convention for me is when they bring forward those thousands of children brought forward by people who used to be barren. I love children, and God loves them. He loves them because he said they are his own. Psalm 127 verse 3. Psalm 127 verse 3 says, children are a heritage of the Lord. The fruit of the womb is his reward. He loves them. As a matter of fact, in Mark chapter 10, verse 13 to 15, Mark chapter 10, verse 13 to 15, he said, let them come to me, forbid them not, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. You do not become like a child, you're not going to heaven. And the reason he loves children so much is illustrated in Matthew 21, verse 15 to 16. Matthew 21, 15 to 16, he said, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, thou hast perfected praise. Children know how to praise God. You don't have to beg them. It is you elders that have problems praising God. It's you who think of your position when it comes to praising God, and you can't dance, you hardly move. Children don't care. I look forward to visiting the children during the convention. And when I visited them last August, and I saw almost 500,000 of them, you could imagine the thrill that went through me, and I'm sure through my Father in heaven, when we said, let somebody shout hallelujah, and you can hear the shout of those little children. They don't care who is looking. Let somebody shout hallelujah. You see, Proverbs chapter 50. Proverbs 50 verse 23. Oh, sorry. Did I say Proverbs? I think I want to say Psalm. He said, "Whoso offereth praise glorifies me." God says, if you offer praise, you give me glory. God loves children because they glorify him. He hates fruitlessness. He doesn't want to see barrenness in any form. So if you think you hate barrenness, God hates it more. He hates fruitlessness. Even in a tree, ordinary tree, when he sees a tree that is not bearing fruit, he says, cut it down, cut it down. Luke chapter 13, verse 6 to 9. Luke 13, verse 6 to 9. Say, why is the tree growing and not producing fruit? He said, it's just cumbering the ground. Cut it down. God hates abortion. God hates miscarriage. Whether in human beings or even in animals. Exodus 23, verse 26. Exodus 23, verse 26. He said, none will cast their young. Nobody will miscarry. And I'm saying to somebody here today, if you have been miscarrying, no more from tonight onward. Philippians chapter 1 verse 6, Philippians 1 verse 6 says, once he begins a good work, he will complete it. Every one of you that have been considered barren, you are taking this month. And there be no miscarriage. There be no stillbirth. The only time God allows barrenness is as a punishment. So I want you to get ready. The sermon tonight is going to be like the sermons of the convention. It will be in two parts. I will make altar call even before we continue. In 2 Samuel chapter 6, verse 20 to 23, 2 Samuel 6, 20 to 23, the only woman we hear about in the Bible who died barren was Michal, the wife of David. Why? Because David was praising God, was dancing, jumping up and down. He forgot he was king. He just was praising God. So much so his belly came out of from under his agbada. And then he got home. And the wife looked at him and said, what kind of king is your own? What kind of majesty? Look at the way you were dancing. Like a common man. David said, hey, I'm dancing for the one who made me king. I'm dancing for the one who took the kingdom from your father and gave it to me. And he said, woman, you haven't seen anything yet. I will praise him more than ever before. Is there somebody here who will praise God? Let me hear you shout hallelujah to me. And God heard in heaven. He said to David later on, he said, David, there will always be somebody to sit on your throne because of the way you have praised me. As for that woman who said, "Why were you praising me?" He said she would never have a child. She died barren. Why? Because the Bible says, like mother, like daughter. Why, if the mother won't praise God, the children won't praise God either. So God said, there's no praise coming from this section, so let me shut the door there. Remember David said, "I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth." Why don't you lift your eyes to the Almighty God and promise Him, "I will bless you at all times. Your praise shall continually be in my mouth." There was another time that he allowed barrenness as a punishment. It's a story you can read about in Genesis 29 verse 31. Genesis 29 verse 31. A man ended up with two wives. He wanted to marry Rachel. They played him a trick and they gave him Leah. And he was disappointed. It wasn't Leah's fault. And so at the end of the day, the man hated Leah and loved Rachel. God said, "No, you can't do this." So he said to the one that was hated, he said, "Hey, you just keep on producing children." The one they said they love, he said, "I shut the door." But thank God, He's a merciful God. Because the Bible tells me, out of His great mercy, in Genesis chapter 30, verse 22 to 24, Genesis 30, 22 to 24, He remembered Rachel. God will remember somebody here today. And the Bible says, "Thou will arise and have mercy on Zion, for the time to favor her, yea, the set time has come." That's Psalm 102 verse 13. Psalm 102 verse 13. That is why, before we continue, because this is an unusual night. It's an extraordinary night. The presence of God here tonight is different. The best prayer that a sinner can pray is, "Lord, have mercy on me." Luke chapter 18, verse 10 to 14. Luke 18, verse 10 to 14. Two people went to the church to pray. One was telling God all he had done. "I pay my tithe, I give my offering, I pray, I fast." God said, "What is it that you have done for me that I didn't do for you? What did you give me that you didn't get from me?" But there was a man there who said, "God, just have mercy on me, miserable offender." God said, "All right, I will grant your request. Before I proceed any further, because we're about to get into some serious situations now, if you have not yet surrendered your life to Jesus Christ, run forward now. Come and ask God for mercy. Let Him save your soul out of His mercy so that He can hear all other prayers that you may want to pray. I'm going to count from 1 to 12 because I can see some of you far away. But before 12, come and stand before me if you want to surrender your life to Jesus so that he can save your soul. Out of his mercy, wipe away your sins and give you a brand new beginning. I'm counting now. One. Two. Three. Four. Five. Six. Seven. Thank you, those of you who are clapping. Your hands will be carrying beautiful children. Eight. Nine. Ten. Eleven. Thank you, those of you who are clapping. Now, those of you who are still on the way, come on quickly. Those of you already in front, talk to the Almighty God. Tell him, I have come to surrender my life to you. I want you to save my soul. I want you to forgive all my sins. I will serve you for the rest of my life. Please, let your blood wash away all my sins today. And the rest of us, please, let's stretch our hands towards these people and intercede for them. That the Almighty Savior, the one who saved our souls, will save their own souls also tonight and give them a brand new beginning. And please, counselors, could you kindly come over and attend to these people in a moment so that we can finish on time. Counselors, please come. Let's intercede for these people that the Almighty Savior will save their souls tonight. Pray for them that the blood of Jesus Christ that cleanses from all sins will wipe away all their sins, that they will have a brand new beginning from today. And the Almighty God will have mercy on each and every one of them. Pray for them, brethren. Pray for them. And those of you in front, talk to Jesus. Just say, have mercy on me, Lord. Save my soul. Forgive all my sins. Just have mercy. Have mercy on me, Lord. And I will serve you for the rest of my life. Have mercy. Have mercy, Lord. Have mercy, Lord. Have mercy on me, O Lord. Have mercy on me. And I will serve you for the rest of my life. Please have mercy. Have mercy, Lord. Have mercy, Lord. Thank you, Father. Counselors, can we move a little faster? God bless you. Thank you, Savior. Thank you, King of Glory. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Amen. Savior, I just want to bless your holy name. I want to thank you because you are so full of mercy. You said, anyone who will come unto you, you will no wise cast out. These people have come to you now, Father. Please receive them in Jesus' name. Let your blood wash away their sins in Jesus' name. This very moment, those who are here and those who are standing all over the world surrendering to you, receive them in Jesus' name. Save their souls. Write their names in the book of life. Give them a brand new beginning. And from now on, anytime they call on you, please answer them in Jesus' name. Thank you, my Father and my God. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, those of you who are in front, I want to rejoice with you because by the grace of God, from now on, I'll be praying for you. And so I need your names, your address, and your prayer requests. The counselors will give you some cards, which you will fill very quickly. And those of you who are listening all over the world and you have surrendered your life to Jesus, please get in contact with us as soon as possible with your names, your address, and your prayer request. And we promise you, by the grace of God, we will continue to pray for you. The rest of us, while we are waiting for these our new brothers and sisters to quickly finish their filling their cards, I want you to begin to thank God in advance for what He's about to do in your life tonight, because this is a night you are not going to forget for the rest of your life. So let's spend just about 3 or 4 minutes praising God now on your own. If you want, you can sing to Him. If you want, you can clap to Him. If you want, you can even dance. And if you like, you can just keep on worshiping Him in your own way. Just for about 3 to 4 minutes. Let's do that very quickly. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name we worship. In the mighty name of Jesus, you will have something to praise God about. Let's be seated if we are standing. How do I know that from tonight onward there be no more fruitless efforts in your life? I have several reasons why I am sure. I will just mention a few. Number one, I know that from tonight onward you will cooperate with God. The fruitless efforts of Peter ended because he chose to cooperate with God. When Jesus entered into his boat, he welcomed him in. While Jesus was preaching in his boat, he didn't leave him there and just go away. He stayed with him. Psalm 23 verse 6 says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I am confident that many of us here tonight have made up our minds. We have nowhere else to go. Jesus is our last bus stop. I thank God for the testimony we heard. The first one said, we've been trusting God for the fruit of the womb all these 33 years. We never missed any Holy Ghost service. We never missed any Shiloh hour. We got to a stage, they took a decision. God, whether you give us a child or not, you will be our God. It was at that stage they wrote, and the Lord said, give them a reply that they will soon testify. In the name that's above every other name, by this time next year, all of you who are trusting God for the fruit of the womb, you will testify. Because when God is on your side, it's impossible to fail. That's why I said we should sing the hymn that we sang very gently, very gently. He said, you are the fruitful vine. One of the verses said, you are the fruitful vine, and I'm depending on you. I'm relying on you. You will supply the strength from within that will make me fruitful. As you abide with Jesus Christ, he will supply whatever is missing, so that you can become fruitful, not only fruitful biologically, but fruitful
in every facet of life. You see, because when we talk about barrenness, we are not just talking about the fruit of the womb alone. Anyone who keeps failing examination is mentally barren. I used to be in the academic world. When there is a lecturer who is not publishing papers in learned journals, and without publication there will be no promotion, we always say he's academically barren. Somebody is considered barren if he's working and there's nothing to show for it. Some of you have been laboring now, you've been at the same job for more than 30 years. There's nothing to show for it. That is going to change tonight in Jesus' name. Because you will cooperate with God. Financially, you can become fruitful the moment you begin to cooperate with God. Cooperate with God. I've told you the story before of a time I visited Kenneth Hagin camp meeting in Tulsa, 1979. And it was offering time. And a man came forward and said, "Please, I want to talk to the people." He called his wife. They stood together. And they gave them permission. He said, "Please, brethren, everything all of you contribute tonight is what me and my wife will contribute." There were 17,000 of us there. He said, "Whatever all of us give, that's what he alone will give." And we thought, this man is in trouble. Because we wanted to get him into trouble, we gave more than we wanted to give. At the end, he said they should count everything. They counted. $3.5 million. We said, you are in trouble now. The man heard and said, "Brethren, is that all you can do?" I said, "This man knows something that I don't know." I said, "I must see this man. I must find out what is his secret. What's he talking about?" Finished, I went to him. "Sir, what's your secret? What's happening?" He said, "I know what I'm doing." He said, "I used to be a failure. Then I started a business with $500. And I made a covenant with God. I told God, every profit I make, instead of giving you 10%, I will give you 90%, and I will keep 10%. He said, within 5 years, $500 had become $50 million. I said, "I see." That changed my life. Because many a times we see the glory, we don't know the story. I am not at the level of 90% yet, but I'm going. I want you to stand on your feet. You are going to pray a prayer with all your heart tonight. I say, "Father, I will cooperate with you. Make me very fruitful." Open your mouth and pray. "I will cooperate with you. Oh yes, Lord, I will cooperate with you. Make me very fruitful. Make me very fruitful. Make me very fruitful." Make me very fruitful.
I will cooperate with you. Lord, I don't know about others, but I will cooperate with you. Kindly make me very fruitful, very, very fruitful, physically, materially, spiritually. Make me very, very fruitful. I will cooperate with you. I will cooperate with you. From now, more than ever before, I will cooperate with you. Just make me very, very fruitful. Yes, Lord, that's what I will do. I will cooperate with you. I will cooperate with you fully. Father, make me very, very fruitful. Make me very, very fruitful. Make me very, very fruitful. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. So shall it be in Jesus' name. Please be seated. Number two. You obey him to the letter. Peter said, I have fished all night. I caught nothing. Incidentally, I've given that word to some of you before. There are some of us who think that fishing should only be done at night. The Almighty God said there's nothing wrong with fishing during the day. I'm sure you understand the proverb. Nobody said that husband and wife should fish at night alone. They can fish early in the morning. The Almighty God is ready to supply all your needs anytime. Glory be to God. But Peter said, at thy word, because you have spoken, I will take your word. Many a times when the word of God comes on occasion like this, it doesn't make sense even to me who hear from him. I mean, when God said that there was someone in the crowd who had no fallopian tubes, and the doctor said there's no way she could ever be pregnant, but that God said, I will give you new fallopian tubes. Listen, brethren, I'm a scientist. You don't get PhD in mathematics without knowing a little bit of science. It doesn't make sense. Doesn't make scientific sense for a woman without fallopian tubes to have a child. But when God speaks, what is science? When God speaks, who is the doctor? And God had already spoken to somebody here tonight. He said it doesn't matter what the situation may be like. This is your night. You see, when God speaks, many a times I almost tremble before I can repeat what he had said. It doesn't make sense. There's no science that can explain when he said to somebody, there's someone there who said, I wish I were taller. Now you have already grown taller. Hey, how do you grow during a service? How do you grow taller? But that is God. That is God. That is God. And that God that I serve, is saying to somebody here tonight, very soon you will share your testimony.
So when God speaks,
thank you, Daddy. I will remind you, there's a word coming to somebody, but maybe I need to remind you of the story of someone who were having Holy Ghost service in London, call it FOL. And there's this lady who came from America to attend. She came to visit a younger ones, and they said, there's Holy Ghost service, I will go with you. She's been barren all her life. She had already passed the age of childbearing. No more menstruation, just like you heard in the testimony tonight. And the word of God just came and said, there's someone here past the age of childbearing. God said, oh, I'm going to reduce your age by 10 years. And the woman said, that's me. Told his siblings, hey, don't call me auntie anymore. I'm younger than some of you now. Taking God at his word. Shortly after that, God said, there's someone here. They say you will never have a child. Get ready for your baby. He said, I know this meeting was called because of me. 9 months later, she was showing us her baby. The Lord asked me to tell somebody here tonight. He said, I will reduce your age and then make you fruitful. If you are the one, let me hear you shout hallelujah.
Just let us learn to take him at his word. You see, that's one of the reasons why God loves children. They don't reason like you do. They believe. It's easy for them to trust God. That's why my prayer for myself, always, God, please don't let me get so educated, so advanced in knowledge, that I can't behave like a baby when I'm with you. How old are we, brethren? The oldest fellow here is less than 100. When you are 100 years old, you are still a baby in the hand of God. You are a baby in the hand of the one who was here before the mountains were brought forth. You are a baby in the hand of the one who has no beginning, who has no end. You are a baby in the hand of the Ancient of Days. You are a baby in the hand of the Almighty God. Why don't you say, Father, I believe you. If you would just take him at his word. Take him at his word. And then obey him. Obey him. He had asked me to do a lot of things that, humanly speaking, sound to me very foolish. But I just obey. You remember the time he asked me to dance around those who were having backache? Dance around them, what for? I did. By the time I finished dancing foolishly before some people, every one of them had been healed. Why don't you just obey him? Take him at his word.
Take him at his word.
My father in the Lord said to one woman in Ilorin some years ago, he went to visit the church in Ilorin, and the woman came and said, "Daddy, please pray for me, I'm barren." Papa didn't bother to pray. He just said to her, "What kind of baby do you want? Go and buy the dress." She went to the market, bought baby dress, brought it back home. Relatives said, "This thing has gone into her brain." 9 months later, somebody was wearing that dress. Take him at his word. And I'm going to ask you to pray a prayer now. You stand on your feet and say, "Father, I promise you I will obey. Please make me fruitful." Open your mouth and cry unto him. Make me fruitful. Make me fruitful. Make me fruitful, Lord. I will obey you in all things. Everything you ask me to do, I will do it. You ask me to witness, I will witness. You ask me to pray, I will pray. You ask me to sing, I will sing. You ask me to study your word, I will study your word. Everything you ask me to do. I will obey. Father, make me fruitful. Make me fruitful. I will obey you. I will obey you to the letter. I will obey you. Almighty God, I will obey. I will obey. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Amen. Please be seated. Number three, why I am sure that fruitlessness is ending in your life tonight is that you are going to enter into a covenant with God. In Luke chapter 5 verse 11, Peter became a permanent partner of Jesus Christ. Permanent. He forsook all and followed him. In 1 Samuel chapter 1, from verse 9 to 20, 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 9 to 20, Anna entered into a covenant with God. "Give me a son, and you can have him." God was looking for a prophet. Anna was looking for a son. God said, Anna said, "Let's become partners. Give me a son and you can have him." When you make up your mind that you are going to be a covenant partner of the Most High God, in every area of life, you suddenly begin to become fruitful. Fruitful biologically, fruitful mentally, fruitful spiritually, fruitful in all areas. In all areas. Fruitful mentally. And I can tell you stories upon stories of people who made up their mind, "I want to be a partner with God." And God will say, "All right, let's show you." I told you the story of the fellow who came to me and said, "Daddy, I want to be one of the three people who will be sponsoring the convention. Just pray for me." And I looked at him, very young man. "Well, if that is your covenant with God, fine, let's pray." We prayed. The following week, he came running. The idea is I want to be partnered with God, and they sacked me my place of work. I said, congratulations. How can you be congratulating me? I said, are you going to sponsor the convention on your salary? Salary that is less than 1,000 naira a month. I said, God had heard your prayer. So he had to shut one door to open another. I pray for somebody here tonight. The kind of door that you don't even know are there, may God open them unto you. Within a year, he came back to say, I don't know if this is enough to form one thought, but at least this is something. I remember how I used to think I was clever before I gave my life to Jesus. And then I surrendered my life to Jesus Christ. And I was doing my master's degree then. And my supervisor traveled and gave me some problems to solve while he was away. By the time he came, when he saw what I have done, see, once you surrender everything to God, he takes over your brain, takes over everything. My supervisor went through. He said, no, Enoch, I know you're a Christian now. I said, yes, sir. He said, I know you will tell me the truth. I said, yes, sir. He said, you are not the only one who did this work. I said, no, sir. I said, I know you will tell the truth. He said, who helped you? Because he was an Indian. He doesn't believe in Christ. If I said Jesus, he's going to laugh at me. I said, Professor Emmanuel. After all, his name shall be called Emmanuel. My secret came out when he said, of which department? I pray for somebody here today, because you are going to enter into a covenant with God, everything you touch will prosper. Go a step further. I just feel the unction of the Holy Spirit here today in a mighty manner. That kind of success that people will ask you, how do you do it, shall soon be your portion. Maybe you should pray a prayer straight away and say, Father, make me your partner so that I will never fail again. Go ahead, open your mouth, talk to the Almighty God. Just make me your partner, Lord, so that I will never, never fail again. Make me your partner, Lord. Make me your partner so that I will never, never fail again. Make me your partner, Almighty God, so that I will never, never fail again. Make me your partner so that there be no more fruitlessness in my life. No more fruitless efforts. Just make me your partner. Make me your partner. Make me your partner. Make me your partner. Thank you, Father. Glory be to your holy name. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Please be seated. Oh, thank you, my Lord.
you, Daddy. Number one, the Lord said there is someone here tonight.
He said right now, when they want to describe you, they call you the barren one. He asked me to tell you, very soon, your middle name will be Mama Samu.
I think this one must be my own.
Because God said there's someone here tonight, very soon you are going to get a new nickname. And that nickname is going to be Baba Olowo. For those of you listening all over the world who don't know the meaning of Baba Olowo, it simply means the extra wealthy man. I think that's going to be my own in Jesus' name. Oh, thank you, Father. If you are not writing, if you are not in the habit of writing down prophecies, please, either you write this one down or you memorize it. Because it's going to happen so soon. The Lord said, there's someone here tonight, and I know it must be me. He said, there is someone here tonight. I'm going to give you one breakthrough that will cancel all your failures. So why do I know the fruitlessness is going to end in your life? Maybe one or two more reasons. Because I know God is already working. Is that God himself will decree your fruitfulness. God decreed to Peter, cast your nets for a big haul. God had already decreed that two boats would be full of fish even before Peter cast the nets. You know, many a times when we preach on this passage, we blame Peter because God asked him to cast nets and he cast only one. If he cast one and two boats were full and were sinking, what would have happened if he cast all the nets? He would probably have finished all the fish available there. See, but when God decrees, when God speaks, it is done. The one who said, let there be light, and there was light, is the one who said, be fruitful. It's a decree. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, I decree tonight, be fruitful. The one who spoke to the waters. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 20 to 22. Genesis 1, 20 to 22. Who said, let the waters bring forth plenteously. And all of a sudden, mighty fish, whales,
catfish, tilapia, all manners of animals fill the oceans. The same one is also the one who said, multiply. In other words, he's not asking you to have just one child. He said, multiply. Don't let anybody deceive you. The plan of God for your life is not to manage. He said, I have come that you may have life and have it how? More abundantly. And I know that there are some people who are listening now. It's most likely in the newspaper by Sunday or somebody is going to criticize what I've just said. That's no problem. They are doing what they are created to do. But I decree in the name that's above every other name, you will not die poor. No, you are not going to die poor. Please be seated. They said, why are you talking to people about prospering in life? You should focus your attention on preparing them for heaven. I'm doing that. I never preach a sermon without talking about holiness. I'm preparing you for heaven. But if the Almighty God said there is a mansion waiting for me in heaven, at least I should have a flat here. I should have a flat here. If he says there is a mansion waiting for me in heaven, built with gold, why should I die a tenant here? Why? When the same God who is sitting in heaven, his legs is here on earth, if he's going to prepare a mansion for me in heaven, he will give me a house here on earth. In the name that is above every other name, you will not die a tenant. And those who don't like it, we attend your housewarming ceremony. I like a friend of mine who said once, way back in 1975 or something, when some people were complaining, there are too many cars in Lagos, that's why there is traffic jam. He said, what are you saying? I've not bought my own yet. Under the unction of the Holy Spirit that is here tonight, you will never borrow again. And if you are owing anybody in the name that's above every other name, God will help you pay off your debt. Now, when God speaks, it is done. And when he decrees your fruitfulness, nobody can stop it. In Genesis chapter 18, verse 9 to 14, Genesis 18, verse 9 to 14, when he said to Sarah, or to Abraham, tell Sarah your wife, he's going to have a son. And Sarah said, what are you talking about? Oh, thank you, Father. Daddy says, and I like this. Daddy says, a laughter can begin as an individual laughter and then become a family laughter. And then become a town laughter. He asked me to tell someone, your laughter will become a national laughter. All right. Now, thank you, Father. I'm trying to be a gentleman, but the anointing on me tonight, I feel like jumping down there and to come and, oh, thank you, Almighty God. Thank you, Father. Daddy says, for those of you who have already made up your mind that you will become his covenant partners, he said, I will give you fresh anointing for easy success. There are two ways of succeeding. You work hard and then you succeed. You sweat and then you succeed. But then there's an anointing that causes you to succeed effortlessly. An anointing that you just do a little and you get much. That's the anointing God is releasing on you right now. So, like I was saying, so when God said to Abraham, tell Sarah she's going to have a son, Sarah began to laugh. But the laughter didn't stop God, because God had decreed. When God decrees, your doubt won't stop him. In 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 8 to 17, 2 Kings 4, 8 to 17, when Elisha said to the Shunammite woman, you're going to have a baby. She said, man of God, don't deceive me. That's what she said. But when God has decreed, either he said it directly himself, or he says it through his servant. He settled forever, O Lord, thy word is settled. You know the testimony of a husband and wife. The two of them came to us. They asked for prayers. And I just felt led. All right, how do you want your baby? And the husband jumped and said, a boy. The wife said, a girl. And so I said, okay, how about a set of twins? Less than a year later, they all stood here on this altar. The husband was carrying the boy, and the wife was carrying the daughter, because the decree has gone out. I'm going to ask you to pray a prayer now. I'm about to end. And I want you to think very well before you pray. Because an opportunity like tonight comes only once in a lifetime. Biologically, how do you want your children? Mentally, how far do you want to go academically? Career-wise,
How high do you want to go? Spiritually, how mighty do you want to become for God? So you're going to tell God, I'm going to give you 2-3 minutes to tell God, explain to him what you want. And then I am going to use the authority he has given me to issue a decree. Go ahead, stand on your feet and tell God what you want. Tell him. If you are trusting God for the fruit of the womb, tell him you want a boy, you want a girl, you want a set of twins, you want triplets, you want 4 at a go. Tell him. You want to become the richest man in Africa? Go on, tell him. Don't be afraid. He is God, he is not man. You want to raise the dead for him as a man of God? Go ahead. He's done it before. He will do it again. Don't limit him. Go ahead. Tell him. Tell him. Tell him. Tell him. Tell him. Oh, thank you, my Father.
Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Now lift your hands to the Most High God as I pray. My Father, my God, I want to bless your holy name. When you called me, you assured me that you will not let your word fall to the ground in my mouth. And I thank you for your faithfulness. I thank you for your presence here tonight. I thank you for the unction of the Holy Spirit upon me tonight. And so in your name I decree, concerning everyone listening to me right now, you will never fail again. In every area of life, you'll be among the best. In your career, you will reach the top. If there's ever any miracle that God can do for any man, he will do it for you. The Almighty God will perform wonders through you. This very night, in all your families, he will terminate barrenness. He will give you wonderful children. And your children will be greater than you. You will never fail again. Very, very soon, your joy will begin to overflow. So shall it be. For so I have decreed it in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. If you receive that, let me hear you shout a big hallelujah.